It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
Younger people and everybody focusing on Trump, quote unquote, slurring, even asking if he was pulling a me by pretending he went to the dentist when he was actually just day drinking all day. It was actually just the way the compression works on the spaces. It kind of gives that slurring sound, and they have actually there's an audio of him just talking on the phone. Like somebody just recorded it with their phone of the exact same interview, and you don't hear that. But the Kamala Harris campaign is focusing heavily on that. I mean, I guess we could compare it with her time on Twitter Spaces with Elon Musk. He's put out the offer. He's offered her. Said happily, we'll happily do it. Happy to do it. Name, time, place. Let's do it. Let's have a conversation together. And I don't think she'll be taking him up on it. As I pointed out last night, if she does, you don't have to worry about the site crashing, because I don't think dozens of people will be able to crash X at a Spaces event like Donald Trump's were last night. Although it was also potentially a massive attack on his infrastructure that was underway. He was pointing that out last night. Elon Musk was, anyway, pointing that out. But a lot going on today, and more polling data coming out. Good news for Dave McCormick. I just got back from his campaign a short time ago. And you got to dig into what is the effect of the Trump voter who doesn't like Donald Trump. But, and this is a pesky problem for the Democrats, likes his policies and liked America better when he was president. So we're going to talk about all that as well. The big story of the hour, though, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Pennsylvania voters are saying a couple things. There's an article I read today where they go up and they talk to some voters up in North Hampton County. And there's one woman's in there, and she's going on about how she doesn't like Trump. She doesn't like his insults. She doesn't like his personality. She voted for him. She's probably going to vote for him again. But she's not happy about it. She wishes there was a different Republican. She misses Reagan. She wishes it was another Republican. Doesn't really like Trump. But she's going to vote for him because she doesn't like the economy and she doesn't like Biden's policies and Harris's policies. And so she's just going to vote for him. I think that is what you have to realize as everybody starts giving their armchair quarterback advice to Trump about tone this down and tone that down and tone the insults down and tone that. I read a whole article today of people, even people like Peter Navarro and Kellyanne Conway, saying Trump's got to stop with the insults. Look, Trump is Trump. He's not going to change. He is who he is. And why would he at this point? The guy has been elected president 1.5 times because, well, I mean, from his perspective, he won both times. So in his mind, it worked for him and they stole it the second time around. But in his mind, why should he change? He's gotten this far by just being himself. And there have been plenty of people around him who've told him over the years, you should tone this down or that down or don't do this or don't do that. And he's done it anyway, and it worked for him. So I wouldn't worry too much about that, because the reality is he's so well defined at this point, it doesn't matter. They'll take the slightest little thing he says out of context anyway. The bigger question is, what about the people that they realize they just, the guy is who he is. They're not crazy about him, but they turn around and they go, well, I guess we're stuck with him. So I got to make a choice on policy. And so I'm going to pick him over somebody else. And that's really where things are right now. That's where things are. If you're looking at voters who are not in the solid Kamala Harris camp, which I just posted a video on social media, you can see it. And the video is titled Massive Turnout at Kamala Harris Rallies, ... Don't be fooled. And I go into detail in that short little video about how she's having to use big named headliners to come out for her, big concert goers. And she's going to have to do more and more of that to get people to come to her rallies. But the media narrative is that she's having all these big rallies and that people are flocking to her and everything like this. There's a bump, no doubt. There'll be another bump, no doubt. But I wouldn't lose sleep over it at this point. I really wouldn't, because of what I read in this article today, which I think is a very, very good point. And this is the issue of these voters who are not your typical Trump. They're not wearing MAGA hats and MAGA shirts, and they're not decorating their truck out with MAGA, but they're voting. They're voting. These Pennsylvania voters illustrate Harris's suburban challenge. John King from CNN writing this piece over at CNN.com. And it's Ballot Kinwood, our old studio, used to be in Ballot Kin. That's where I first started, actually, back when Talk Radio 1210 WPHD, we were there, to Ballot Plaza. It's where I got my start, doing weekends, nights, whenever they'd have me, Monday morning, after Christmas, whatever it was, whatever shift I could take, I would take it. I'd even work Fridays. Yes, it's true. I even would do that back then. True story. No joke. And it was great. I loved being in Bala because you didn't have to pay city wage tax. Although I'm in Jersey, so it's reciprocal, but you get the point. Bala was fun and there was free parking and it was nice. But anyway, they go out and they talk to some voters in Ballot Kin. And so this one woman in the article, her name is Carol Carty. And she goes on about how she misses Reagan and the 80s. She even listens to 80s songs to try to help her hearken back to a different era. Look, I get it. I listen to 80s songs, too, because I peaked in high school. I mean, I graduated high school in the 90s, but still, that was really my peak. So I listen to 80s love songs, heartbreak songs, 80s rock, hairband rock. I get it. I'm with you on that point. I don't do it for the same reason she does it. I don't lament the good old days of the Republican Party. I think when Trump was going on with Elon Musk last night about ending regulation, having, as Elon put it, smart regulation, and Trump said, well, remember, I said for every one regulation you bring me, you got to get rid of two others. And that whole part about the regulation reform, if you heard nothing else in that Twitter Spaces conversation, that and eliminating the Department of Education, I was very happy to hear those things. When Trump talked about right to try, giving people the right to try life-saving drugs. And by the way, in my opinion, it shouldn't just be life-saving drugs. You, if you're sick, you should have the right to try any damn thing you want, in my opinion. If you're an adult, you try whatever you want. And that's my take. But it's not easy to get through because of all the special interests that are involved in this. And Trump went into detail about that last night. You know, you have the pharmaceutical companies lobbying against it. Doctors don't want to do it. The people that write the malpractice insurance for doctors, they don't want to do it. So in order to get all that through, you gotta turn around, and it was not easy to come up with that compromise, but they were able to achieve it, and they got right to try through, which is something that I was talking about for years. I mean, think about it. You're dying of cancer, you're dying of whatever, and there's a drug that could save your life, but it's not approved by the FDA, and you can't get your hands on it. That's ridiculous. There was a movie years ago with Matthew McConaughey called The Dallas Buyers Club. It was actually about the 1980s. And during the AIDS crisis, the AIDS epidemic, and how they would have people who they have a pipeline to get drugs from Mexico and Canada to people who had AIDS or HIV to try to help them. And it was called the Dallas Buyers Club. But all these things had not been approved by the FDA. So it was technically illegal to do that. So if you want to hearken back to the 80s, you got to realize that it wasn't all roses. And this woman points out here in this article, she says she wishes the GOP would support reasonable gun safety measures and let women make difficult decisions about reproductive rights. But she misses Reagan. First of all, Reagan was solidly pro-Second Amendment, and Reagan was pro-life. Wrote a book about it, actually. Wrote a book about abortion and how horrible it was. But she said she's a never-Trump Republican. That's how she would label herself, a never-Trump Republican. And yet, as recently as a few weeks ago, she planned to vote for Trump, and it's not out of the question, she still might. She still might vote for Trump. She's a never Trump Republican, but she's like, well, I mean, to quote Sean Connery, never say never again. Am I right? I'm just saying, you know, it's not over till it's over, quote Yogi Berra. So she's probably going to vote for him. Why? Because she backed Hillary Clinton in 2016. And Joe Biden in 2020. So why is this never Trumper in Ballot Kin? She's exasperated with Biden over inflation, immigration, and more. She watched the June debate. She found herself in a place for 8 years she thought impossible. She said, when Biden was on the ticket, I was going to vote for Trump. Now it is a harder call just because I'm not a fan of Donald Trump. I want to give Kamala Harris a chance. because she deserves that chance. But, and this is where the Trump campaign has to do a very good job of defining Kamala Harris as being part of Joe Biden. And that's what the Harris campaign is trying desperately to do, which is to separate any linkage to Joe Biden. If you think about their strategy right now, why are they hiding her? Why is she not doing interviews? Why are they pretending like she's nothing, has nothing to do with Joe Biden? Like she just got there, hasn't even been to Washington, never even went to the White House, never even took a tour. That's the goal. So that people like this woman in Balakin will think, well, yeah, I didn't like Biden, but Kamala Harris is a new, fresh face, a new voice. She's not. She was his vice president. She's part of his administration, and she supports policies that are just as radical, including Medicare for all. Although, just moments ago, it was reported by Peter Ducey at Fox News that now Kamala Harris's campaign no longer supports Medicare for all, and they no longer support a complete government takeover of healthcare. So she's walking back every policy from the ban on fracking to Medicare for all. And she's also coming out now and saying things like we should end taxes on tips for servers, even though she voted for 87,000 new IRS agents to come after people like people who were servers who might make a lot of cash tips. So she did all those things. And as you read the article and you find out about people like this, and basically, here's what it comes down to. I don't like Trump. But I got to admit, things are better when Trump was president. All right. That's what it comes down to. And that's how you can summarize a lot of the voters that are out there right now. And the question comes to this. What matters more at the end of the day when they go to vote? His personality or their pocketbook slash wallet or man bag or whatever else that they carry their money in. I don't know. I don't carry cash. And I never have cash on me. It's a thing. I just don't. Even when I have cash, which is rare, because I don't usually, my wife handles the cash end of things, you know, paying the, the VIG. You gotta tip everybody. It's like Emmons was over the other day installing a new door. You gotta VIG the guys. You gotta take care of people. You know what I'm saying? Got to do that. Guy comes to deliver the water. You got to take care of the guy. Got to do that. Anyway, the cash on hand is critical, but I never have any. And it's a problem, especially when I go to valet my car. Because you got to bum $5 from somebody and then I forget to pay them back because I don't have cash. But anyway, the point is, well, however you carry your money, even if it's in the form of a credit card, you got to think about what's more important to me, Trump's personality or the bottom line for me as an American citizen in terms of making money, keeping my money, and the future. And that's the question that only those individual voters can answer. Now, if you're asking me what I think they're ultimately going to choose, I think people are inherently self-interested. I think that has always been one of the keys to life when it comes to politics. I don't mean necessarily that, and I don't mean that as a bad thing. I think people put their own personal self-interest first, which is why Trump beat Hillary Clinton in the first place, because they said in 2016 that he would be better as president. And they went after him with everything from he was going to start World War III. He was just going to nuke people. He didn't like them. Oh, CNN is taking a moment from the X Spaces conversation last night. And they've edited it to act like Trump and Elon were saying that dropping a couple bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, no big thing. Things are fine. Everything's great. It's all good. Nuke away, because this actually has no bearing whatsoever. It is so deceptively edited, that little clip that they took. I'll talk about that with you as well. And in the case of this woman that CNN talks to here, she's turned off by J.D. Vance. She's pleased with Waltz. She's pleased with Waltz, and she's happy about that. She's not happy about the fact that she thinks that J.D. Vance doesn't like the fact that she doesn't have kids. Or something like that. But again, when you're going to vote, how much does that matter? How much does that matter? Whatever J.D. Vance, his comments about cat ladies or not, does it matter when you're buying groceries? Does it matter when you're filling up your tank with gas? Does it matter if you want to go on vacation or any of these other things that you want to do? What matters more, personality or the economy? And I think it goes back to something James Garvel said in 1992, it's the economy, stupid. People didn't care about Bill Clinton's personality back then. And that guy had a lot of skeletons in his closet. In fact, let me play a clip for you. This is a very good clip. I think this really comes up with it. This is a Philadelphia woman starts crying. Well, describing inflation under Kamala Harris and Joe Biden's killing us, all right? So this was posted by Colin Rugg on social media, but it actually came from an interview that was done, Decision 2024, on NBC News Now, all right? So this woman sits down with these black voters in Philly. Black voters in Philly, and they discuss key issues ahead of the 2024 election. So listen to how this woman's feeling, and then think, does after everything she said, does Trump's personality trump every concern she just laid out here? All right, take a listen.
How hard has inflation hit you?
It hit me hard. It's hitting me hard.
What do you blame for it?
I blame the federal government at this point. If a working class mom who works as a paralegal cannot buy a $2 bell pepper because it's now $5, imagine a mother living on food stamps. Mm. Imagine a mother who's making minimum wage trying to feed children. They're killing us without killing us. If you understand that, they're killing us without telling us they're killing us. They're hurting people in ways that they can't help themselves. It's either feed my child or how about feed my children? And I don't, but I have to go work.
They're killing us. And this poor woman is crying over it. They're killing us. And she's really upset. So as you hear that and you think about that, you just have to ask yourself, really, when she goes to vote, does it matter that Trump says mean things on Twitter or anything else for that matter in that person's mind? I think that's how you sum up this election. Democrats are trying very hard to make this about personality. Republicans are freaking out again, and I've been getting emails about this too. Richie's got to tone it down. Richie's got to stop with the insults. He's got to stay on message. He's got to do that. Trump is going to do whatever Trump wants to do. It's just who he is. And I don't think it matters at this point because he's so defined. And even if tomorrow he started coming out and sounding like a giant Hallmark card, I think if anything, people would think, who is this guy? I don't know if I like him as much. I think deep down inside, people have gotten over who Trump is, and they either love him, they hate him, or then there's the rest of the people in the middle who just kind of go, I don't know, it doesn't really matter. I was better off when he was president. You know what I mean? Like, I was just better off when he was president. So that's all I care about. And my family was better off when he was president. And the freaking world was better off when he was president. So those are the things that matter to me. And as I look at it, those issues are not going to go away. Because it's not going to be a situation where suddenly by November, everybody's rolling in it again. I mean, inflation is here. It's only going to get harder on people. It's still getting difficult on people. Here's CNN's John King. This is from that article, but he speaks with some of these Pennsylvania voters talking about some of their issues. And this is the big story of the day brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com. My buddy, my friend, the master of dental implants, two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Dr. Mike Vanaria, cut number 3.
Berks County is more rural and more Trumpy, just outside the suburban collar. But margins matter everywhere in the battlegrounds. Joan London is an attorney for local governments.
Bloom Farm zoning permit status. We had a meeting this morning, very productive meeting.
London cast a primary vote for Haley, then switched her registration to independent. She worries about Trump's coarse tone and what she sees as angry populism. A new worry since our last visit in May. Trump running mate J.D. Vance. No cats, but married and childless. Now, even more proud she left the GOP.
I've led a very full life that way, and to say I don't have a stake in the future of the country, I had some difficulty with that, and all I could think of, Senator Vance, are you going to tell Ann Coulter or Condoleezza Rice or Elizabeth Dole that they're miserable cat ladies? I don't think so.
London plans to write in a conservative, but she leaves the Harris window open just a crack.
If Donald Trump or J.D. Vance really says something so outrageously offensive, that could drive me to vote for Vice President Harris. But it's highly unlikely. She doesn't represent my values, my beliefs about policy.
Media is in Delaware County. Cynthia Sabatini knows a lot about the change here.
My street was rock-ribbed Republican. Now you have to shake a stick to find a Republican.
Sabatini is also never Trump.
And I watch his campaign rallies. It's all about him. It's not about the country.
This is now the third campaign in which these never-Trump voters hold significant sway. In 2016, Sabatini wrote in a Republican senator. Trump narrowly won Pennsylvania. In 2020, she voted for Biden.
Was that hard?
No, because I didn't want to see Trump elected after the chaos of the prior 4 years.
Sabatini says she's read things that worry her about Harris, about immigration policy, and about being tough on her staff. Probably another write-in this November. But the 2016 result still stings.
I'm trying to keep an open mind about Harris. If the rap on her, as I read, is correct.
Bella Kinwood is in Montgomery County.
It was very Republican when I was growing up, and it's Democrat now.
Carol Carty is an attorney, a registered Republican. She's angry that Trump constantly attacks courts and judges and election results.
I'm now turning on 80s songs to go back to the 80s. In my lifetime, the Republican Party has changed with Donald Trump.
Clinton 2016, Biden 2020, a never-Trumper, she thought. But inflation and immigration soured her on Biden. And then she watched the June debate.
When Biden was on the ticket, I was going to vote for Trump. But now it's a harder call just because I am not a fan of Donald Trump.
Nor now of Senator Vance.
I'm not a cat lady. I was a childless dog lady because I didn't meet the right person until I was over 40 years old. So I could very well be one of those childless women. And I found the comment insensitive and narrow-minded.
This is near Carty's summer home on Maryland's Eastern Shore. She says the conversations back home among her Philly suburban mom friends are crystal clear.
Definitely I have more friends saying that they're leaning towards Harris.
But she still has reservations and hopes a Harris-Trump debate helps.
Tell me what you did exactly at your last job. And what are your goals for this job, if you get the job? And that's what I want to hear from Kamala Harris.
Scoring the campaign just like a job interview. In the suburbs, that usually decide who gets hired.
Now, why are those women not all waving the flag for Kamala Harris? I mean, think about it. This is why I think Kamala Harris has real problems here. Theoretically speaking, Biden's out. Shouldn't these women voters in the burbs be like, yes, we are all in. We're with her. How come there's no we're with her? It's like, yeah, we don't like Trump, but we're concerned about her. And what are they concerned about with her? Policies. That's a problem. They should just be foregoing policies and going like, yeah, because we hate Trump so much. So, yeah, it's Harris. We're all in with Harris. But they're not. They have concerns. They have reservations. I think it's very telling. I really do. It's very telling. Because if you believe the narrative should be that, well, now that Biden's out, all these people who hate Trump's guts are just coming home to the Democrat Party and they're going with Harris and the fact that she's a woman and they're excited. And these are all women voters. They all have reservations about her. They don't like Trump. They don't really like her. So if they don't like either of them, how do they decide? And the question, I think, comes down to policy at that point. And what are their reservations with her? Her policies. What are their reservations with him? His personality. Think about that. It's very telling, if you ask me. Their reservations with Trump are his personality. Their reservations with Harris are her policies, because they are the policies of Joe Biden. So as long as that becomes the issue, and again, you're not going to change their view of Trump in terms of his personality is not going to change. But her policies, that problem, and how they overcome that, despite the fact that they don't like Trump, I don't know if they can do it. And if they can't do that, then Kamala Harris can't win, despite all of Trump's negativity and flaws in their eyes. Her policies trump all of that. And that's a problem for the Democrats. That is something they can't avoid, which is why Kamala Harris was not who they should have nominated. And if they thought they were actually going to have a chance of winning this thing, because she's still part of the Biden-Harris ticket. And she said wacky, crazy things, and all those wacky, crazy lefty things are coming out. Policies trump personality at the end of the day. So I wouldn't worry too much about Trump's personality. It's already defined. But I would worry about her policies, because as more and more of that come out, voters like that turn around and go, I don't think I can do it. I just don't think I can do it. I don't think I can pull the lever for her. And these are women suburban voters who don't like Trump. And they're not with her. They're not with her. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. If you want to weigh in today, a lot from the Elon Musk Spaces conversation last night. Plus, a Washington Post journalist asked the White House if they can stop Trump's interview with Elon Musk. Because democracy dies in darkness. These freaking hypocrites. Don't go away.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Dr. Ben Carson joining us at 4:30 today, so I better rally. Let's have a little more coffee. Delicious. So good. So good in my veins. I might start doing heroin. Thinking about it.
I don't think that's going to give you an energy boost.
I've been thinking about it. No? Doesn't give you energy?
Heroin? I don't think so.
What are you drinking back there?
Well, right now it's just the coffee from our machine, which is still free as of right now. It shocks me that Odyssey is not putting a coin, like a vending, you know what I mean?
It will happen. But, you know, as you bring up to Bauer, where we used to broadcast, they used to actually charge a quarter for a cup of coffee.
Those are those terrible little packet thingies, the Flavia thingies. Those were awful.
Yeah, that's like the desperation move is to use one of those Flavia things.
Yeah, I would just go buy like Coke on the streets before I would do that. That'll give you an energy boost. Mm-hmm. Then you get the crash. That's the problem. You know what I mean? You get the crash.
Well, when some of our guys at the music station would make coffee, you would never crash. It was like rocket fuel that these guys made at the music stations.
Yeah, well, that's why you got to drink. What's the coffee that Jack Carr and Dana Lash sent me a bunch of coffee? What was it?
Black Rifle.
Rifle, you say, is really good.
That stuff is good. But there's one, it's called, like, Death or something. And it's supposed to be...
Why would you drink that?
Exactly. Why would you? It's supposed to be loaded up with caffeine. But here's a little thing. People don't realize this. And this is why, again, I try to help sometimes by giving up free advice. It turns out that lighter roast coffee has more caffeine than dark roast. Did you know that?
I don't drink coffee, so yeah, this is news to me.
What do you drink? How do you...
I don't drink anything. I have enough energy, Rich. I told you.
I know.
I have to run like 3 miles every night, otherwise I can't go to sleep.
Yeah, DeSantis is crazy. When we were out in the RNC, he revealed to us a lot of things. First of all, the guy doesn't sleep. He has to run. He doesn't stop. You just keep going. What is it? What drives it? Is the anxiety that fuels you? Is that what it is?
I don't have crippling anxiety. I just have... trouble sleeping at night. I have a lot of energy. So if I don't run, I don't get like a full 7 hours worth of sleep. And that starts to build over the course of several days.
Yeah.
Like it did at the RNC. I never had a chance to run. So I basically didn't sleep for the entire week.
You know what you should do, Matt DeSantis? You should produce a morning show because that'll definitely help you get a good sleeping rhythm going.
No, I did that 1 week with Nick Cale was more than enough.
I... 3 years of hosting that, and I'm just saying that it's I woke up the other day at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I thought, oh, this is so great! I don't have to go to work right now. Wow.
Yeah, I don't know how you did that. That 1 week was torture. I just didn't sleep for that entire week. I have no idea how they do it. I don't know how you did it. I don't know why Greg willingly does it. I mean, he's the program director. He could get himself out of that position if he wanted.
Yeah,
why torture yourself?
It's kind of like, I mean, it's kind of like his show, though, you know? So
that is true. He's on it a lot.
DeSantis is like my dog. Dan Borowski just said you're like his dog.
Is that a compliment?
I guess. I don't know. I don't think he thinks like you relieve yourself on the lawn. I think he means that you his dog doesn't sleep either. His dog has got a lot of energy and doesn't sleep. But his dog's a puppy, so, you know, you're a grown man.
Yeah,
you're a man-child, but you're a grown man, nonetheless.
Yeah, I think I'm...
But you are a man-child, and let's get some of this else out there, too. Like, we go to a restaurant in Minneapolis, and go to a nice place in Wisconsin, I mean, and we're having dinner, and I get an old-fashioned, and Evil Jared, our former program director, gets a nice old-fashioned. You get a Coca-Cola, and it's just, it's embarrassing, because it's not like you're an alcoholic, it's not like you're recovering, it's just... You're a freak show, and then you wonder why you can't sleep.
You'll never make it as a salesperson here if you're not drinking alcohol.
You're drinking a Coca-Cola, and you wonder why you can't sleep. All that sugar and all the crap in there, that's your issue right there.
Well, look, if I remember correctly, actually it was a Pepsi. I remember being a bit distraught
when the
waitress informed me that they didn't serve Coca-Cola products.
Yeah.
But it's a delicious beverage. It went well with my meal.
I took my son out to lunch today. Patrick and I are doing a thing where we're trying to find the best wings in South Jersey. So we're going to all different places.
Oh, nice!
And we had lunch together today. So we're doing this now. It's our summer thing that we're working on. And he told me, I said, you know, buddy, I'm going to Chicago. I'm flying out on Sunday. And he goes, why, Dad? Why are you going out there? I said, I'm going to be broadcasting live from the Democrat National Convention. And I said, he goes, are you excited? I said, I'm excited to go to Chicago. I'm not exactly excited to be around like tens of thousands of Democrats for a week. But he said, Dad, you got to get a Chicago hot dog while you're out there. My almost soon to be 10-year-old son had the foresight to tell me I got to get a Chicago hot dog. He's right.
He's definitely right. We got to go to Portillo's.
Is that the place?
Well, it's like a fast food place, sort of, but it's head and shoulders above basically any other fast food I've ever had. It's amazing. Their hot dogs are excellent. They have these Italian beef sandwiches. Amazing. We got
to
go there.
Oh, and we got to go to Pizzeria Uno for you. We got to do that.
I want to try a deep dish pizza.
We'll go to a real, if you want to go have deep dish pizza, I'll go with you. But I'm only going to a real place. I'm not going to some
Uno's not legit.
I'm not going to a chain. I'm not doing that.
Not going to Papa John's anytime soon.
If you really want actual Chicago deep dish, then we need to do some research now, or as a local. But I'm still going to hate it. I'm still going to whine about it. I'm probably going to post a video trashing it.
Have you had legitimate Chicago deep dish pizza?
I haven't been to Chicago. I only went to Chicago once for my sister-in-law, brother-in-law's wedding, and we barely spent any time in the city. We walked around, what is it, Miracle Mile down there by the water, and that was it. So,
well, you might like it.
I'm looking forward to getting shot. I want to go to the bad neighborhoods, too.
I am nervous about the counter-protesters. For the last couple days, the New York Times, the Washington Post, they've all been posting articles about how they're expecting tens of thousands of counter-protesters to show up.
It's going to be a hoot. I'll tell you what, a bunch of whack job pro-Gaza protesters at the DNC combined with the Democrats. It's going to be a fantastic week.
Are celebrities going to be there?
I don't know. You know, Katy Perry sang at the DNC in Philly.
Taylor Swift going to be there?
When Katy Perry sang, I remember this like it was yesterday. She did a warm-up show. And every cop, every Philly cop that was assigned to guard the convention was in there taking videos. And I went over to him and I was like, oh, hey, how's it going? I'm like, oh, what's up? Said, taking a video, Katy Perry? Like, yeah, for my daughter. Like, okay, yeah, no, that's definitely, go with that.
Well, we
run with that.
You weren't supposed to be in there. I remember you snuck me in. You had be you
to became, see Katy Perry?
Yeah, you became friends with a
Katy
group
Perry,
of the cops.
No. Oh, well, yeah, the cops,
and
obviously.
They, like, ushered you in to watch Katy Perry, I guess, warm up, and you were kind enough to invite me as well.
Well, they were Philly cops, so there are people.
Yeah.
You know, there are brothers and sisters in blue, but it was funny, because every cop with a phone, same story, one after another. I'm like, oh, you're just taking a little video of Katy Perry? Yeah, for my daughter. You have kids? No. But one day I might. Good answer.
The hot rumor is that Beyonce may be performing at the DNC convention.
Now, wasn't Katy Perry married to Russell Brand? Weren't they together?
She was.
Because Russell Brand was at the RNC. He, of course, would not do an interview. He's too cool for us. But is he really backing RFK Jr.? Is that a real thing?
Supposedly.
Wow. That's too bad.
Now, do you think any other radio shows will be there with five or six people to just help them out, and then just you and DeSantis there, like it wasn't the Republican
thing?
Well,
thank God Austin's coming. We got our engineer, Austin Yin, coming. He's a great guy, right? So he'll take care of us.
Yeah, but he's with KYW, I think.
Oh, so we're screwed.
We're basically
on our own again.
All right. Yeah.
That's fine. You know, at this point, I don't even care. I could care less. You know, you go to these things, you see Bongino has like 50 people helping him.
Yeah, Hannity's got about
Clay
like 20.
Clay and Buck have 37 different assistants in person. They've been getting coffee and water, and we can barely plug in our equipment on our own. So
is Hannity there, too?
Of course he was there. And but all the Fox personalities are treated like, you know they're royalty, so that's all right. I don't mind. I'm excited. I'm not excited. I'm not going to lie. I'm not excited in the least. Speaking of this, though, I think Joe Biden wants Kamala Harris to lose. I think there's a part of him, actually. This is an interesting clip that just came out a few moments ago and I'll play this for you in just a second. Biden came out and said, the issues that we've worked on together have made great progress economically. So as Kamala Harris is trying to distance herself from Joe Biden, which you're seeing more and more of, this idea that she was never even vice president, here's Joe Biden turning around and making the point of saying, no, we worked on all these issues together. So I wonder if there's a part of him that wants her to lose. Now, that part of him can't want her to lose too badly, because if Trump gets in there, Trump's going to be able to expose all of Biden's corruption. So Biden deep down is hoping that Kamala gets in so that he can cover up all the crimes of him and his son and the entire deep state Biden crime family. However, I think there's a part of him that knows that he was shivved out, pushed out of the race. He's bitter and he's angry. And I think that there'd be a part of him that if she went down, he would feel really good. He would feel vindicated in some way. So the fact that he just said that right now is something that the Harris campaign is cringing over. I'm going to play that clip for you in just a second. But I want to remind you of something. As Kamala Harris tries to run away from Joe Biden, the Trump campaign is reminding everybody exactly who she is. And those clips of her from that 2020 debate, man, she said a lot of wacky stuff. She said a lot of wacky stuff, and it's all coming out. You can't hide from that. You can't, I don't care. People, you can tell me that they can package her up and they can present her as something, but that clip of those Pennsylvania suburban women who are all talking in that clip, and they're going on about how what she says scares them and the policies worry them. What do you think they're worried about? They're worried about the kind of wacko lefty policies that Kamala Harris has backed. That's what they're worried about. So good luck trying to pretend like she just got to the scene. If they had gone with somebody else's nominee, they might have had a better chance of doing that. But she's the vice president of the United States. She's the person who is in the administration. And trying to distance herself from that is going to be an impossible feat. Listen, I got to tell you about my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria. Great guy, great friend of mine. And if you've been putting off going to a dentist, what are you waiting for? It's time for you to go get the smile you deserve, a beautiful smile. Taking care of your smile means everything because it lights up a room. And Dr. Mike Veneria has been named a top dentist in New Jersey for 10 consecutive years. He's also has one of the most respected reputations among his peers as a master of dental implants. I promise you will not be disappointed with Dr. Mike. So if you've not been to the dentist or you've gotten an estimate for complicated dental work somewhere else, reach out to Dr. Mike for a second opinion. With two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, schedule your appointment for a free implant consultation today for your perfect smile. Just call 856-786-2020. 856-786-2020 or visit VeneriaDental.com. You will love the great work of Dr. Mike Veneria. You'll love the smile. You'll feel great about it. And you will absolutely be making an investment in yourself. 856-786-2020, VeneriaDental.com, VeneriaDental.com.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
Two things regarding this idea of separation. So remember the strategy that I told you, I hope part of the reason why you like the show is that you understand that I came from a political world. So I view things, politics to me is sports. I don't really understand sports, as you know. I don't really get it. Like when Patrick and I were having lunch together today, he's telling me all about how the Eagles are looking for this season. And I had no idea what he was, and I'm humoring, I'm pretending and I'm nodding along. I'm like, uh-huh, that's, yep, right. My soon-to-be 10-year-old son, absolutely, completely knowledgeable about this. But the point is that, you know, he's going on about how some guy we picked up from the Giants or whatever is going to, how he's going to help fill this area of the team. And I look at politics the same way. To me, all these people are just playing. It's a big game. And my Super Bowl is Election Day. So the strategy going into this for Kamala Harris's team is let's distance ourselves from Joe Biden. We won't take any questions. We won't do any interviews whatsoever. And we're going to hope that everybody just votes for us because Trump is mean. But that's the exact same play they ran in 2016. So if you were to go back and you know how in sports they show you the video, the Monday morning quarterback videos, and they say, well, you know, if we had just done this play, run this play differently. And so then for the game leading up to the game, you know, they'll show you how the other team plays and they'll go, all right, now they're going to try to go through this hole or whatever it is, you know, whatever it is, whatever the sport. I will never be on the whip, 94, the whip. This never happened over there. I can't even get through I can't even explain sports through the analogy of how I can't explain sports. That's how bad I am at this. But my point is, we're watching the 2016 game all over again. It's the same game. It's the Trump's meanie pants, focus on his personality, and avoid any policy discussions, and that's how we'll win. How'd that work out for them in 2016? How did that work? This is why I'm not worried. I know people are worried. I keep getting emails, and I see the tweets, and I know that there is concern. But we were worried in 2016 too, but they're running the exact same playbook. Think about it. Same playbook. It's the Trump's mean, Trump's a misogynist, Trump's a sexist, Trump's going to get us into World War III, whatever it is, right? And it didn't work then, and it's not going to work now. It's just not. But the other problem is that as they run the play being distance ourselves from Joe Biden, problem they have is that Joe Biden wants everybody to know that Kamala Harris is part of his team. So this is a clip. It just came out a short time ago. And here's Joe Biden saying what the Kamala Harris campaign does not want him saying, which is that the issues that we've worked on together have made great progress economically. Take a listen.
And he responded to criticism from Team Trump about Kamala Harris being more liberal than Biden. Here's his response.
The issues we've worked on together have made great progress economically. It's a good policy. So that's what it's like.
The issues we worked on together have made great progress economically. The Harris campaign does not want him saying that. In their minds are going, zip it, old man. Go back into your vegetable state, have some Jell-O, and zip it. Don't link her to you. Because that black woman in Philly who's crying about the economy and the inflation, they don't want her thinking that Kamala Harris has anything to do with it. And now you're telling everybody that she has something to do with it. But it gets worse for them. It gets worse as they try to do this little fugazi of, oh, she was never part of it. She had nothing to do with it. She just got there. She went on a tour one day and they picked her out of a crowd to run for president. She was never VP. Here's Susan Rice, Obama advisor Susan Rice. It's bizarre and offensive to say that Kamala Harris has not been an integral architect of the policies of the Biden administration. I don't know what these people are thinking, but man, am I loving this? Keep saying this stuff, please. By all means, take a listen.
Let me also ask you about NBC reporting that Harris is going to begin to highlight, quote, unfinished pieces of Biden's agenda that she would champion as president. She has been criticized so far for not laying out policies in these couple of weeks where she's, you know, frankly, had to organize a campaign and choose a running mate. But universal child care, paid family leave, affordable housing, minimum wage increase, a lot of the things you worked on in the White House. How important is it for her to find a way to differentiate herself from aspects of the Biden agenda? Maybe, you know, move the ball, put an emphasis on other things. How does she do that and still be loyal to the fact that she worked with Joe Biden?
Well, Andrea, first of all, it's been barely over 3 weeks since she has been the presumptive Democratic nominee. She's done an extraordinary job picking a first-class running mate, barnstorming the country, generating enthusiasm, making people understand that this is an exciting election about the future and that one that can be waged on the basis of optimism and joy rather than fear, hatred, and division. She will, as she has said, outline aspects of her economic policy later this week. But I think it's very important to remember that this has been the Biden-Harris agenda. Kamala Harris has been an integral architect and executor of the policies of the Biden-Harris administration. And when you talk about the important business that she is committed to continuing and finishing, things like paid family leave, making permanent the child tax credit.
Well, you get the point. She's been an integral part of the Biden-Harris. They don't want her saying this. Zip it.
Rich Cioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.